Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, May 9th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Humboldt launches wind energy business support. Sierra Snow Lab reports nearly 400 inches of snow, aiding in summer drought mitigation. And local dance company honors mothers with a special show this Saturday. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Offshore wind energy is planned for Humboldt County's coast, and so is support for local businesses that can get involved. KMUD's Daniel Mintz reports.
Humboldt County is launching an initiative to get local businesses ready for and capable of participating in a major up-and-coming industry, offshore wind energy. At its April 23rd meeting, the county's Board of Supervisors approved an agreement with local and regional business support groups on a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, on the initiative. The effort, known as the WindLink Initiative, stems from a November 2022 resolution calling for community involvement in offshore wind development. The county's Department of Economic Development is a key player in effecting that, and its director, Scott Adair, explained the work that's led up to WindLink's launch.
As an economic development agency, we've been thinking about what exactly it is that our business community is going to need if offshore wind does come to fruition, so that they are able to engage in and participate in this industry. So we had some conversations with our local trades and contractors. Specifically, we worked very closely through the Humboldt Builders Exchange, which is an organization comprised of local general contractors, electricians, welders, HVAC companies, and other construction and trades related industries, and identified that of the components or the subcomponents that would typically go inside of a turbine, that today there are approximately 30 or more components that a Humboldt County business could either manufacture, install, or service.
Adair said meetings with business development groups, including the Small Business Development Center of Northern California, Cal Poly Humboldt, and the Redwood Region Economic Development Commission, took place. Those discussions shaped the WindLink Initiative. Adair described what the initiative aims to do,
which is to provide those companies, those contractors and tradespeople who I'd referred to earlier, with education, resources, access to capital, networking opportunities, other support, technical assistance, training, et cetera, that they might need in order to engage in the wind industry. We're currently funding this through some seed funding from our additional assistance grant. We'll be working with partners to identify additional funding for this initiative as we move forward. We are working closely with Oceantic, which is a nationwide, actually an international offshore wind trade alliance comprised of contractors and tradespeople and other suppliers of and servicers of subcomponents. And we're also working with the California Manufacturing Technology Consulting Group as we put this initiative together.
Asked for more detail on funding, Adair said this initial phase of the effort is entirely grant-funded. The subsequent effort to raise money for capital assistance will include searching for additional grant funding. Also at the meeting, supervisors approved the revocation of a cannabis cultivation permit in the Bridgeville area. The permit for 5,000 square feet of outdoor cultivation and 7,600 square feet of mixed light cultivation became effective in the summer of 2019. An annual inspection in 2022 found violations, including structures and cultivation outside of approved locations and unconfirmed sources and uses of water. A lack of responsiveness from the permit holder, Highway 36 Farms, was discussed in this exchange between Board Chair Rex Bone and Planning Director John Ford.
Nothing's been done. That is correct, Chair. We brought this before the Board of Supervisors, I think a month ago, with the idea that the applicant or the permit holder had contacted us the day before the hearing and wanted to address the issues. They have not been addressed. We have attempted to contact the applicant. We have sent letters to the applicant. We've sent emails to the applicant. We've posted the site to make sure that we were communicating appropriately. And unless something's happened within the last 2 hours while I was sitting here, we've heard nothing. So our recommendation would be that because of the violations that exist on the site, and because of the lack of responsiveness of the applicant, that you find that the revocation is exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, that you adopt the findings contained in the resolution.
Supervisors unanimously approved the revocation. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
The Central Sierra Snow Laboratory is a research field station of UC Berkeley, specializing in snow physics, snow hydrology, and climatology. Located at Donner Pass in the Sierra Nevada, the lab has been recording precipitation, snowfall, snow depth, and air temperatures since 1946. In the past 7 days, the lab has observed over 26 inches of snow, accumulating nearly 400 inches since the beginning of the annual water year. Snowpack in California serves as a critical natural reservoir, gradually releasing water during the warmer months, which sustains rivers and reservoirs, supporting agriculture, and helps to manage wildfires. To learn more about this year's snowpack, we spoke with Andrew Schwartz, lead scientist and manager at the Central Sierra Snow Lab.
And we work on all things weather, water, and climate, but of course we specialize in snow.
May 5th actually marked the snowiest day of the season, with a spring storm dropping over 26 inches. And to date, the lab has documented 387 inches of snow since October 1st. However, this year's snowfall totals are considered remarkably average.
And I say that because we don't typically get average snowfall years and snowpack years in the Sierra Nevada, but it's a good thing. Coming off of last year's big winter and then having this year means that we are looking pretty good in terms of our water resources. We actually ended up above our April 1st average, so we were above average for that measurement. And now have been melting quite a bit, but we are still above average for this time of year for the snowpack throughout the state of California.
On average, the snow lab records about 360 inches or 30 feet of snow annually.
That's how much we have gotten on a median over the last 30 years. So typically speaking, as long as we get to that point, we're in fairly good condition. But of course, you know, big years happen. Last year, we had just shy of 63 feet. And we do occasionally get the low years, too, which cause problems. But all of that is due to, you know, normal and kind of continuing climate variability and then the impacts that we as humans have on the climate system.
The laboratory's data is among the longest continuous record of snowfall in the world and is crucial for understanding the future of water resources in California.
Typically, when we talk about snowpack and its contributions to our purposes as humans, we typically talk about the fact that it supplies about 30 to 50% of the state's water. And that's what's happening this year, as it is an average year. So as time goes on and the snowpack melts, we're going to see a lot of that trickle downstream and into our reservoirs and replace the water that we're using out of those. And hopefully it'll stick around, you know, into the late spring and even maybe into the early summer. That being said, we have had some warmer temperatures. So we are seeing some rapid melt compared to, say, last year, for example. That has kind of meant that we might not see it fully extend into the summer. So overall, it's, you know, typically we start to see these types of river flows in another 1 or 2 weeks, but because we've been warmer, we're seeing them now.
While various environmental factors could impact what the summer will look like, Dr. Schwartz remains hopeful.
Said when we have, you know, two consecutive good water years, as far as last season and then this year, that does set us up for some favorable conditions as far as we can see, given the fact that there's additional moisture. We've had a couple of years now where the ecosystem drought stress can kind of relieve itself a little bit. And then, you know, we can keep some of that moisture around going into the summer. But a lot of it does come down to how much fire weather conditions move in the later half of the summer. But for the time being, it's looking pretty favorable.
According to the California Drought Monitor map, only 2% of the state is considered to have abnormally dry conditions, with 98% showing no drought at all. However, with the changing climate, the Central Sierra Snow Laboratory may help the state better understand our environment and weather patterns.
The big things that we're seeing at the snow lab is just a shortening of the snowpack season. We're seeing, of course, colder months warming, but all months throughout the winter. So we're seeing a shortening of the snowpack season, as well as more rain events in the middle of winter because of the warming temperatures that we're experiencing. And so that effectively paints a picture of a smaller snowpack for a shorter amount of time into the future. That's not to say that we're going to see less precipitation, because our overall precipitation has stayed about the same. But in general, our winters are warming quite a bit, and that's affecting the longevity of our snowpack.
To learn more about the Snow Lab and to view their latest data, you can visit their website at cssl.berkeley.edu. Calling all grandmothers, mothers, daughters, and granddaughters. Feet First invites you to celebrate together for brunch and a showing of Tales of the Motherhood. KMUD's Lisa Music brings you the details.
Local dance company Feet First Productions will be hosting a special event this coming weekend. Feet First performer Sheila O'Toole shares details of the company's history.
Hi, I'm Sheila O'Toole. I am a member of the local Feet First dance troupe. Feet First originally started in 1977. It's such a pivotal part of our community. They've been putting on shows over the years, bringing our community together. They offer scholarships and, you know, they've just been giving back to the community and just have been such a bright light, you know, for the arts here in our local community.
In honor of Mother's Day, Feet First will be holding a special showing of Tales of the Motherhood, an original Feet First production at the Redwood Playhouse in Garberville this Saturday at 11 a.m.
For a fundraiser for Feet First, for our operational costs and to keep, you know, our scholarships up and running, we are having an event this coming Saturday at the Redwood Playhouse at 11 a.m. And we are going to be airing a DVD on their big screen there of an old beloved show, Tales from the Motherhood. Now, this show, I can't even tell you all the people who were involved putting it together, but it was a 40-person cast, and they were doing interviews, you know, interviewing mothers, and it was all about just, you know, bringing mothers together, discussing their experience and creating performance art from that. I have not seen the show myself. I'm so excited to watch that. So we're going to be at the Playhouse, so at 11. The screening probably starts around 11:15, but we're going to open doors at 11 because we're going to have brunch available. So we want people to come. Brunch upon donation will be available. Also, tickets are, I think, $15 to $20 sliding scale, $10 for seniors. But please, you know, if you don't have that, still come and come on in and see the show, because we want everyone to experience this.
What brunch would be complete without a tea party?
Bring a teacup, please. I just want to mention that because it's a little bit of a tea party. So if you want to bring your own mug, go for it. Yeah, it's just going to be a really special event. And there's going to be a little area for the kids. So if they're not into watching it, we'll have some activities for the kids too, with making art and different things like that.
In addition to special performances, Feet First hosts dance classes in Southern Humboldt.
There are some opportunities for current dance classes that I would love to fill people in on. So there is a swing class Thursdays at Beginnings at 6:30 p.m. And Christy Clark teaches this class. If you are interested in joining the class, please give her a call beforehand to let her know. Her telephone number is 707-572-8815. And then Sue Burdick is teaching a modern dance class at the Redwood Playhouse every Monday from 7 to 8:30. We do the modern class. And Sue also has this vision for works in progress where she's really just kind of inspiring people themselves to be choreographers. And so there's going to be another added layer to that where people can explore their own choreography and just play around with that. There might be then shows going on, works in progress, that people can show what they're working on. So those are both the classes going on, and there have been mixes of more classes, but currently that's what we have to offer, and there'll be hopefully be more in the future. And if you're interested in teaching a class, please get in touch with Feet First as well.
Those that need additional information on the special Mother's Day performance this Saturday or any of the Feet First offerings have two contact options available.
So if you want to find out more about Feet First Dancers, you can go to our Facebook page, Feet First Dancers, Inc. Check out the page on Facebook, and you could also email us at info@feetfirstdancers.com.
Feet First invites everyone to celebrate this Mother's Day together at the Redwood Playhouse on Sproul Creek Road in Garberville this Saturday at 11 a.m.
It's Mother's Day this weekend. It's the perfect show to be airing at that time because we want to be celebrating the role that mothers have in our life and just the energy that only they can provide. And so it's going to be great. Hope y'all can come. Bring your mom or bring somebody who's a mother figure in your life, whoever that is in your life. Just that being, if you don't have a mom or if you're not a mom yourself or anything, it's just, we're just all there together and it's going to be a great event.
For KMUN News, I'm Lisa Music.
Turning to Mendocino, KMUD's Matt LaFever has the latest Mendocino County headlines. Tensions rise over a gas station delay. Law enforcement reacts to shots fired in Redwood Valley. And Laytonville skate parks see community votes for a special sponsorship opportunity in this report.
This is Matt LaFever with the headlines out of Mendocino County for Thursday, May 9th, 2024. Let's begin with an update on the contentious battle over a proposed gas station in Redwood Valley, which has taken a dramatic turn, leaving residents, developers, and county officials at odds. At the center of the debate is the Fijian Corporation's plan for a 10-pump service station and convenience store along Highway 101 at the base of the Willits Grade in Redwood Valley. On Tuesday, May 7th, the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to delay their decision on the project, sparking mixed reactions from those involved. Dolly Riley, the chair of Redwood Valley's Municipal Advisory Committee, said, quote, "In my opinion, a delay is better than allowing the gas station," unquote. Though Riley expressed relief at the postponement of the project, Haji Alam, the president of the Fijian Corporation, is not pleased. Haji Alam is concerned, quote, "The board action will cost my company tens of thousands of dollars more," unquote. Alam argues that opponents to the gas station harbor personal grudges against him and his company, claiming unfair treatment in the permitting process. He even hinted at selling the property to local tribal interests, a move that could circumvent local restrictions. Alam said, quote, "If that happens, the county gets nothing in the way of new revenue or services," unquote. The board's decision on Tuesday follows months of heated discussion and unresolved concerns. Mendocino Coast Supervisor Ted Williams, despite calls for recusal, remains actively involved in the deliberations. Mendocino County's Director of Planning and Building Services, Julia Krog, said, quote, "The board's decision takes this project almost back to the starting line," unquote. Meanwhile, Dolly Riley, the chair of Redwood Valley's Municipal Advisory Committee, underscored the community opposition to this proposed gas station, saying, quote, "Residents fear the operation is too large for rural Redwood Valley," unquote. Riley emphasized concerns over potential disruptions caused by increased traffic, noise, and lighting. Amidst the stalemate, Riley supports a more comprehensive review of traffic studies by county and state officials. Riley said, quote, "I believe they want to be safe from a lawsuit in their decision," unquote. As tensions rise and the fate of the gas station remains uncertain, residents and stakeholders eagerly await the next steps in this ongoing saga. Let's now turn to an incident that occurred yesterday in Redwood Valley. Yesterday afternoon, at approximately 3:10 p.m., law enforcement converged on a rural property west of Redwood Valley after a confrontation between neighbors resulted in shots fired. A reporting party contacted police dispatch around 3:10 p.m., alleging a man had driven a dirt bike onto a property onto the 7,100 block of Black Bart Trail east of Redwood Valley and fired two shots from a handgun. As of yesterday, it was unclear what preceded the alleged actions, but scanner traffic indicated the reported party was speaking with the victim and speculated the incident could have began with some sort of domestic situation. Reports from the scene indicated the man suspected of firing the weapon was wearing a black tank top and a black hat and had a firearm in his waistband. Dispatch also received intel that he had access to a high-powered rifle. Around 4 p.m., deputies from the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office had arrived at the location and deployed an unmanned aerial vehicle to gain a visual perspective from above of the situation. Approximately 2 hours after the incident began, scanner traffic indicated the incident was over. Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Quincy Cromer provided an official statement regarding the incident, saying, quote, "This incident is still under investigation and no arrests have been made at this time. There is no known threat to the community after our preliminary investigation on May 8, 2024, unquote. Let's turn to Laytonville, where we have an exciting opportunity to support our local community.
Hey everybody, it's Rolo from Laytonville Skate Park, out here in beautiful Laytonville, California. Just got some really good news. We're finalists in the Sackcrete Concrete Company, you know, Sackcrete, in their competition to become a sponsored DIY. Like, they'll pay for the concrete. They're going to give us pallets of concrete. But we need your votes to help us make it happen.
Mendocino County, with your votes, the Laytonville Skate Park could win pallets of concrete and equipment from Sackcrete to enhance this skate park and involve local youth in construction processes. This initiative will offer young local skaters a chance to learn valuable masonry skills, setting the stage for future opportunities in construction. Roland Spence, the passionate organizer behind this skate park, reminds us that whether they secure the sponsorship or not, the skate park remains committed to moving forward with phase two of this DIY section of the skate park. Show your support by voting for Laytonville Skate Park at sackrete.com/vote. That is sackrete.com/vote. Let's rally behind our local skaters. And that's the latest from Mendocino County. I'm Matt LaFever in Hopland, reporting for KMUD News.
In national news, Biden denounces rise in anti-Semitism during address at Holocaust Memorial event at U.S. Capitol. Christopher Martinez reports.
Never again, simply translated for me, means never forget. Never forget.
President Joe Biden spoke at the Holocaust Remembrance Ceremony at the U.S. Capitol, an event hosted by the U.S. Holocaust Museum. The president says never forgetting means we must keep telling the story, teaching the truth, teaching our children and grandchildren, because, he says, we are at risk of people not knowing the truth. He says the hatred of Jews did not begin with the Holocaust, and it did not end there. He says it was brought to life with the October 7th Hamas attacks in southern Israel. He talked about what he calls a ferocious surge of anti-Semitism in America and around the world, and he says we must learn the lessons of history so we do not surrender our future to the horrors of the past.
We must give hate no safe harbor against anyone, anyone. From the very founding, our very founding, Jewish Americans, who represent only about 2% of the U.S. population, have helped lead the cause of freedom for everyone in our nation. From that experience, we know scapegoating and demonizing any minority is a threat to every minority and the very foundation of our democracy.
Biden reaffirmed his commitment to the security of Israel, saying it's ironclad even when we disagree. He also talked about the controversial issue of campus protests.
To debate and disagree, to protest peacefully and make our voices heard. I understand. That's America. But there is no place on any campus in America,
any place in America for anti-Semitism or hate speech or threats of violence of any kind.
The ceremony took place in the Emancipation Room of the U.S. Capitol. It included music, speeches by Holocaust survivors and others, and also the Democratic and Republican leaders of the House of Representatives. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana talked about Nazis and the Holocaust, Hamas and the October 7th attacks on Israel, and college campuses. He talked about elite German universities expelling Jews then, and about the United States.
And now today, we are witnessing American universities quickly becoming hostile places for Jewish students and faculty. The very campuses which were once the envy of the International Academy have succumbed to an anti-Semitic virus.
On the other side of the aisle, Democrat Hakeem Jeffries of New York is the House Minority Leader. He says this is a day to remember and to recommit to the struggle against indifference. And he offered a quotation on the subject.
Holocaust survivor, author, and noted humanitarian Elie Wiesel, when accepting his Nobel Peace Prize in 1986, said that action is the only remedy to indifference. And he made clear that indifference is the most insidious danger of all.
Congress established the Holocaust Remembrance more than 40 years ago. President Biden says these days of remembrance fall in difficult times, and he says we must never rest as we rise against hate and see our common humanity.
We know hate never goes away, it only hides. And given a little oxygen, it comes out from under the rocks. We also know what stops hate. One thing, all of us.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, and thanks to our reporters. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org, SoundCloud, and Instagram. That's where you can see stories, links, related documents, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send us an email to news@KMUD.org. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.